This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hit my music.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of pro wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andrew Rich. This is episode 146, and it's the 2022 Halloween Spooktacular, sponsored by HelloFresh. And today I am joined by a first-time guest here on the show. He's a contributor at Voices of Wrestling. It's Alex Wendland. Hello, Alex.
Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you for having me on the show. It's good to talk to you sort of in person.
sort of. Yeah, I suppose. Actually, I was thinking about this earlier. This is not the first time we podcasted together, because a few years ago on the flagship Patreon, you, me, and Rich did a watch along of Halloween Havoc 91. So here we are together again, Alex.
Yeah, perfect. That was a throwback. I thought you were going to say we did one of the Omakase drafts together, but I remember that now. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, for sure. Although I will say, unfortunately, there is no Chamber of Horrors match this time around, sadly, or Oz, or the Halloween Phantom, or the Patriots, but we'll still keep the Halloween spirit going here. Alex, how about that?
A couple of these songs are a Chamber of Horrors.
Oh, folks. Tip your servers. The man has some jokes, my goodness. But well, let me ask you this. Since it's your first time on the show here, how did you become a wrestling fan? How'd you get into it?
I've kind of been a fan of wrestling as long as I can remember, right? I remember sitting in my living room 5 or 6 years old and just going through the channels with my mom, and wrestling was on. And I think I made her stop. I don't remember exactly. I honestly don't remember if it was cable television or the video rental store that got me into wrestling first. It was one of those two avenues. It's been a part of my life as long as I have memories, basically.
Mm-hmm. And has music played a big part in your wrestling fandom at all?
I wouldn't say it significantly. Like, it's obviously a great accent and it makes things better, but it hasn't been a driving force in my wrestling fandom, I would say.
All right, I'll just end the episode right here. Alex, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you carving out the time. Oh, I tease, of course.
I was very jealous that Rich got to do the No Mercy episode, because
Music Memories, right.
Yeah, I think that is the defining song of pro wrestling for me, is the Dig Diggity Dog.
It's a catchy one, that's for sure. It'll stick with you for a long, long time. Yes. but anyway, Alex, like I said earlier, we are here to do the Halloween Spooktacular. It's an annual tradition here on the show during October, where we talk about spooky, scary, creepy themes, or themes for wrestlers befitting the Halloween season. Costumes, masks, things of that nature. Let me ask you this, Alex. Has there ever been a time, maybe when you were a kid, where something in wrestling has scared you? Not like a bad botch or whatever, but like a wrestler or an angle where it kind of freaked you out.
I was just the right age for Kane.
Mm.
And when Kane debuted and they'd come through town and you'd go and there, you know, the fire on the turnbuckles was pretty terrifying when you're a young kid. And Kane was the closest, I think, to being properly freaked out by something spooky in wrestling.
Yeah, that was me as well as a kid with Kane. But it was like 03, 04 Unmasked Kane, where he was like, you know, tombstoning Linda McMahon on the stage and electrocuting Shane's nuts with a car battery, right, and crushing Shawn Michaels' throat with a chair. Stuff like that kind of just, you know, freaked me out as a kid. But
yeah, and then when he's unmasked, you also had to look at Kane.
Pretty gruesome sight, absolutely. Now, you have a young son. Does he watch wrestling at all?
Not really. He's a little young. He's just two. He's got one of the Kenny Omega wrestling buddies, and that gets a lot of work in the Wendland house. And he generally catches like the first segment of Dynamite before I take him up to go to bed. And then I leave the TV on so the dogs don't bark at every car door in the background, right? So that's kind of his exposure now. I think in the next couple of years we'll increase that a little bit. And then actually we also bought the Friday Night WrestleFest kids book that Steve Case recommended.
Cool. Well, you know, I always love at a wrestling show when a big scary wrestler comes out and they go up to a little kid in the crowd and the kid just starts crying their eyes out and screaming their head off. And
Yeah. There's
always the parent there that is just laughing their ass off at the kid freaking out. I mean, that could be you, Alex, one day. All right. I'm just saying it could be you.
Someday. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yes. Well, let's get to these themes here. We have five on the docket as per usual. And we'll start off not with a wrestler theme, but a match theme, because this is the WWE cage lowering music. Whenever they lower the steel cage or Hell in a Cell or Elimination Chamber, this is the music they play. So off of WWE Uncaged 9, this is Jim Johnston with Imminent Danger. So this is a pretty iconic piece of music. It's been around for about 25 years or so, and it's iconic in its simplicity, really. There's not much to this one at all here, just that steady drone, doom, 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 over and over and over again. And it's meant to build up the tension and give off the sense of foreboding and, imminent danger. So there you go. And it does it without going too overboard or in your face with it. You know, it's not like it's, you know, oh, fortuna, senta verde, that's... It's a lot more low-key than that. And, you know, if you're doing a steel cage match or Hell in a Cell or whatever, and you want to convey that this is a dangerous match beyond just saying it's dangerous, then giving it its own dramatic music is a good way to do that, Alex.
Yeah, well, I was personally hoping we'd get a little bit more opera from you there. but this song is just memories, right? Like, this is big match. It's about to go down in... my childhood, right? Like that's tons of memories for me. It's Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, Hell in a Cell. That's what this music is to me, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Again, it's a very iconic piece of music, and it's one of those things where I think the modern presentation adds to it as well, because you have the music, but you also have the shots of the cage slowly descending from the ceiling, and the spotlights are all on it. That's a lot more exciting than the old days, where they would just have the big blue cage up on the ground. Not much fear in that, you know, a guy with a wrench, do. My God, King, what an evil structure this thing is. You know, not much room for dramatic music in that case there, Alex, I don't think.
No, not much of a need for it. And I also didn't realize that this was... that they were still using this for Elimination Chamber matches. I didn't realize that it was around for that long.
Oh yeah, to this day they still use it for the cage matches and all that stuff, for sure.
Wow, it shows me how much WWE I watch.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, back in the day when this song was first being used, it wasn't just as the cage music. They would play this on pay-per-views for the main events in like late 97, 98. They would show the wrestlers backstage walking to gorilla position for their entrance. So, like, Bret and Shawn at Survivor Series 97, you'd see Shawn exit the locker room and walk backstage towards Gorilla, and you'd hear doom 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 doom, and same for Bret as well. So that also does a good job, I think, of adding to the tension and anticipation for this, you know, whole affair and making it feel like a really big deal, Alex, you know?
Yeah, this is big match music. And should we take a moment to have a Jim Johnston conversation? Because this is like, if Jim Johnston did Halloween, it would sound like this, right? Like, this is his version of the Halloween theme, which is timely because we got the new Halloween movie coming out. But it very much seems like, you know, there is a spooky element to it. So it's perfect for this, but it is, it's really situational because, like you said, it's like pure big match music.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And this would also inspire AEW to have its own cage lowering music, which I think they only used once for Cody Wardlow, the first one. But that one is similar with the dramatic droning music, but it also has like tribal drumming in there as well. So it manages to, you know, give its own spin on it there, Alex.
Yeah, I think we should have more dedicated tunes for moments, right? Like, we should have intermission or interludes, maybe. I don't know. I like the themes for moments.
Mm-hmm. Like a guy sets up a ladder in a ladder match. Just
exactly.
a little spice there for you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some game show shenanigans going on. That'd be fun. So it'd be a real GCW thing.
Yes, exactly. Up next, we're going to go to WCW, but not just any WCW, 1999-2000 WCW. Yes, strap in, folks, because we're going to talk about the Kiss Demon. And the Kiss Demon's theme is by, you guessed it, Frank Stallone. No, wait a minute. No, it's by Kiss. Of course, it's by Kiss. Off the album Destroyer, this is God of Thunder.
Okay.
So it shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out why they picked this song. Not just because it's Kiss, obviously, but this song is the signature song for Gene Simmons. He sings it, his Kiss character is the Demon, it all lines up there. Now, your mileage may vary on how much you enjoy the band Kiss and all their cheesy rock and roll goodness. I like them, but I also know that they're not exactly Bob Dylan in the songwriting department. I'm the Lord of the Wastelands, a modern-day man of steel. I gather darkness to please me, and I command you to kneel before the God of Thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will slowly rob you of your virgin soul. No, it's not Proust, but it is what it is. And with the Kiss Demon, there's really no other choice of music here, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, so Kiss is a band for me, right? Like, the theatrics, even though pro wrestling being such a big part of my life, never really hit for me. I like some of the hits, right? Detroit Rock City, Rock and Roll All Night, Love Gun, like those are good songs to me. This does not feel like it should have ever at any point really been a hit to me. Doesn't have the juice in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not much of a, you know, a fun time party song that other Kiss songs are. I agree, yeah. But listen, if there's any band that emphasizes style over substance, it's Kiss, because the bells and whistles, the makeup, the pyro, the costumes, all that stuff, that is all way more important than the actual music. And that's true for a lot of wrestlers as well. I mean, we just had Bray Wyatt come back to WWE. That's a pretty big example right there. I mean, with, you know, the lore, the masks, the costumes, the puppets, the spooky magic, all that is the important stuff. And the actual wrestling, not so much. So, Kiss and wrestling, it's a natural pairing, I think. Even if the Kiss Demon didn't really work out in the end, Alex.
Well, maybe the Kiss Demon was proto-lore. That's a great point, Andy.
I mean, the band does have its own kind of lore with the characters, you know, Starchild and the Demon, and Space Ace the Cat. I mean, you're onto something there, Alex. I think so.
The Kiss Demon walked so that Bray Wyatt could run.
Well, I don't know about run. Maybe walk slowly with a lantern, perhaps. I don't know.
The Kiss Demon walked so that Bray Wyatt could walk and brawl.
Exactly. There we go. Perfect. Well, the Kiss Demon, people may not know this. This was apparently supposed to be part of this whole big crossover between WCW and Kiss. And there was going to be like an entire Kiss stable of wrestlers. And there was also supposed to be a New Year's Eve pay-per-view called New Year's Evil that was half Kiss concert, half wrestling show, and the Demon was going to main event it.
This is news to me.
Well, none of it happened. None of it happened because Kiss performed this song live on Nitro for the Kiss Demon debut, and they hyped it up all big, and it bombed horribly in the ratings. One of the lowest Nitro ratings ever at the time. And then a month later, Bischoff got let go as president, and he was the one behind this whole crossover deal. So the character was pretty much DOA. He still wrestled, still had the song and the costume and all that, but he was just called the Demon. There was no more crossover after that, Alex.
Yeah, that's... I had no idea about the faction plans. That is... I would love to have seen them follow through on that, right? Like, it's not going to save the company because, you know, Kiss is a 30-year-old band at this point. But it would have been a much better story, even now, right? There at least would have been some novelty to it, and it's too bad that, you know, bombing once really killed the whole thing, even if it was never going to be, you know, a big hit. Would have at least been interesting.
I'm trying to think of who would be the other wrestlers to play the Kiss wrestlers. Well, the Cat, I mean, Ernest Miller. There you go. That's
easy.
That's the obvious pick right there. Space Ace, I mean, Juventud Guerrera, a pretty spacey guy, I think. He's a good pick for that one. Now, Starchild, Paul Stanley. I'm trying to think of who could play that one. You know what? I mean, Brad Armstrong. I mean, that guy had just a million cartoonish gimmicks in WCW over the years. You know, Arachnaman and Candyman and Bad Street and Buzzkill and all that stuff. So probably him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, he would have been good. I think that's something that, you know, maybe you can do like a Billy Kidman in that role. That could have been fun.
Oh, that's good. That's good, yeah. Maybe go for a young demo, perhaps, with a younger guy, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you
also... Wait a minute. Billy Kidman, the Shooting Star Press, the Star Child. Alex, you nailed it. You got it, goddamn.
You picked up what I was putting down.
There you go, my friend. There you go. Well, the guy playing the Demon is Dale Torborg. But originally, it was supposed to be, I think, Bryan Adams, you know, Crush.
Oh, really?
He was the original choice for the Demon, I think, but it went to Torborg instead. And he actually showed up last year at Bound for Glory as the Kiss Demon in the Gauntlet match, which was, you know, pretty cool to see, I think. So there you go.
Yeah, well, when I saw you put this on the list, I did a little Kiss Demon research myself, and it turns out Dale Torborg is a coach in Major League Baseball for the Chicago White Sox these days. Health and strength and conditioning guy.
Yeah, yeah. And in TNA back in the day, he had a match in one of the pay-per-views with Lance Hoyt. It was the base brawl match with A.J. Brzezinski in his corner.
Right.
So, yeah, there you go. But speaking of baseball, let me tell you about a home run company called HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Just subscribe to HelloFresh, and you can check Save money off your fall to-do list, because HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout and less expensive than grocery shopping as well. And with HelloFresh, there's always something new on the menu to enjoy. Family-friendly, fit and wholesome, veggie recipes, and for you vegans out there, good news for you, HelloFresh is now offering vegan recipes on the menu every week, made without animal products of any kind, like dairy, meat, eggs, or honey. So enjoy meals like sweet chili tofu bowls or spicy coconut curry stir fry. Yum. And as I've said before on the show, I am no expert in the kitchen, but HelloFresh helps me out so much. I have all the ingredients right there. The recipes are simple to follow, and the prep work and cleanup time is low. So if you're like me, you want to make some nice meals all by yourself at a great price, then just go to HelloFresh.com/VOW65 and use the code VOW65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/VOW65 and use the code VOW65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. keyless entry. No more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Moving on now to song number three, and this is for Captain New Japan. Sorry, let me do that properly. This is for Captain Fucking New Japan. Get the fuck out of here. And the Good Captain's theme is by Inosuke Kitamura off the album NJPW 40th Anniversary Raising an Army. This is called Where Are You From? Captain New Japan! Captain New Japan. What fun times we had with you, my friend. You know, it's funny, I didn't really remember this song all that well. Mostly because the Good Captain barely had any singles matches, and he won even fewer. So, I don't have any real memories of this song, to be honest with you, but it's what you'd expect a Captain New Japan theme would be. You know, it's very stirring, heroic-sounding music, very spirited and jaunty, got the hand claps in there. All quite befitting for a superhero fighting for justice, Alex.
Yeah, I agree with you on basically all counts there. You sent this over to me on the list, and I went and listened to it, and I said, you know, Andrew, I've never heard this before. but it does, I mean, it fits his Captain New Japan character, and like you said, with the kind of swelling nature of it, fits the kind of superhero vibe that he brought to the show.
Mm-hmm. And last year for the Spooktacular, me and Liam played a theme for another superhero, the Hurricane. And it's striking how similar these two themes are, because it has the heroic music, and it also has the bit at the beginning where he goes, Watashi no name wa Captain New Japan da, which means, my name is Captain New Japan. And that is basically his version of, stand back, there's a hurricane coming through. So, yeah, there are some common points between the two songs, Alex.
There sure is. Yeah, that's really interesting. Interesting point. And the superhero pro wrestler has rarely worked, but those are two examples where kind of they landed at the level they were supposed to land at and maintained the vibe, I guess, of what those characters could and should be in a wrestling world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, not many marks in the win column for old Captain New Japan there, that's for sure. But now, if we want to get spooky here, of course, the good Captain would later on turn heel and join Bullet Club as the original Bone Soldier. And that was terrifying, because the original Bone Soldier sucked badly. I mean, the look was horrible. He had, like, the original Bone Soldier mask over, like, a black nylon thing. He had cargo pants on with boots. He's a terrible wrestler as well. The feud with Yoshitatsu was also pretty horrible. Anyone who looks at New Japan nowadays and says, oh, House of Torture, it's so bad, that is nothing. Nothing compared to just how awful OG Bone Soldier was. I mean, Kenny Omega called it an intergalactic disaster, and that about sums it up pretty well, I think. It'll haunt me to the grave, Alex. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, no, I see no lies from Kenny Omega there. Bone Soldier was kind of towards the beginning of when I was paying attention to New Japan, and was a tough sell, I'll admit, right? you know, putting that next to you know, any of the main events, and I know they're not next to, but putting him on the same card as any of those main events is a real incongruent experience. Really kind of gave life to some of those tag matches with Tanahashi. And, you know, I think for most of his run, really, really played the part that he was asked to do and did that well enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I wonder what he's doing now, because he's been gone a long time from wrestling. His last match was in January 2017. He left New Japan a few months later, and he hasn't wrestled since. He's been pretty much MIA.
Yeah, like nowhere, right? He hasn't even popped up in, you know, one of the over there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not even like a secret base or a hard hit or whatever. He's just been gone. And it's funny, you know, back in like 2018, when they did the vignettes for Ishimori and his debut in the company as the new Bone Soldier, you know, they didn't say Ishimori was coming. They would just say, you know, Bone Soldier Reborn or whatever. And it's like, oh God, please no. Don't let him be back. Please God, no. But it was Ishimori, who is, you know, a tad better wrestler than the original Bone Soldier was, I think, Alex. That's for sure.
Definite upgrade.
Yes, yes. Especially in the abs department. Absolutely. Yes. Well, theme number four, and it's for the now-departed Viscera, Big Vis, R.I.P. And Viscera's had a lot of themes in his career, but this one he had in, like, late 04 to early 05. This is from the Bruton Music Library. It's by Brian Luzietti and Douglas Rappaport, and it's called Another Way Out. Now we have some real proper spooky music here with the haunting atmospheric keyboards. You got the bells, the deep bass line. There's a creepy violin at one point. It's a whole spooky soundscape. And it's appropriate for Viscera, because remember, Viscera wasn't just this big fat dude. The origin of the entire character is that the Ministry of Darkness kidnapped Mabel at the Rumble in 99 and turned him into Viscera, with the white eye contacts and the bleached mohawk and all that. I mean, he's called Viscera, for God's sake. Of course we'll get some spooky music, Alex.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, he was a pretty spooky guy at the time, too, right? With the whether it was the black leather or the brown velvet, he kind of, and neither of those were particularly welcoming. A big spooky guy with spooky music. This song is like four or five different songs all mashed together with the same backing track, it feels like to me. And that might be the nature of a music library, right? Definitely a weird song, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, they kept up the whole spooky thing with Viscera long after the Ministry was over. Because, again, he had this from, like, late 04 to early 05, which is right before he did the whole World's Largest Love Machine gimmick. So he was still, you know, Ministry-era, black bodysuit Viscera with the contacts and all that, but there was no Lord of Darkness Undertaker or Higher Power or whatever. He was just some guy on the roster. And yet they never really changed up that whole Viscera gimmick at all until the Love Machine gimmick came around, hence this theme song. This is kind of like a low-key, forgotten, under-the-radar banger, I think, Alex.
Yeah, I could see that. Especially if you pick one of the songs inside of it, right?
Yeah, it's like a late-stage Beatles song. All these different parts that just come together there.
Oh, don't do the Beatles like that.
I'm just saying, you know, Abbey Road, there's all medley of stuff. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But Viscera, I mean, I'll say this too about the guy. He's had quite a few banger themes in his career. I mean, this one, his 2000 theme from Know Your Role, the Men on a Mission theme, the Big Daddy V theme, Calling All Cars. So, say what you will about Big Vis, but the man had some choice themes over the years, Alex, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think, obviously the Men on a Mission stuff is going to be, I don't know if it's the best, but it's what I'll always remember him for. Music-wise, and he'll also be remembered for that run as Men on a Mission and kind of the bomb that came with it. But I mean, he was around for a long, long time and did. He was there for a lot of interesting and important angles in the history of that company. So I think he's a guy who. Is at risk of maybe fading into the background, but I sure hope he doesn't, because he was such an interesting character and was around for so long.
Oh, yeah. I know he was like on and off with WWE at times, but I mean, he went from 93, 94 Men on a Mission to the King Mabel era to the Ministry to World's Largest Love Machine and then Big Daddy V in like 08 ECW and Sci-Fi, which, I mean, you're talking like on and off 14, 15 years there, which... Yeah, hell of a run for the guy, absolutely. And again, just look at him. I mean, you will never forget Viscera, because that guy stands out in a lot of ways, Alex, that's for sure.
That's a unique character, Andrew.
Absolutely. Good old Big Vis. R.I.P., my friend. Well, the final theme here, and it's a current theme in AEW, it's for Julia Hart of the House of Black, which I guess is still a thing. We'll see what happens there, but... Julia's theme is by Colin Young, featuring Emma Boester and Jordan Olds. This is called Harder Heart.
I'm
So this might be the young Evanescence fan in me, with the massive crush on Amy Lee, which I still kind of do, but I like the song a lot. I fully acknowledge that it's, you know, total geeky House of Black lore, but it's a good song. I'm a sucker for, you know, powerful female vocals. The music is nice and heavy. It's in line with other House of Black themes. So, yeah, I'll take the lore in this case, Alex. I don't care. It's a good song.
Yeah, this was, you know, put Julia Hart in the camp with Captain New Japan. First time anyone's ever uttered that sentence. But I didn't know she had her own spooky theme to go with her, her turn over to House of Black. And so this was really my first time recognizing it, and it's not a bad song at all. I think it's definitely the best one on our list today. And yeah, I hope it becomes something that, you know, we hear more of, whether it's attached to the whole House of Black or just Julia Hart. I think it really works for kind of the it doesn't have to be spooky, it could just be goth and, you know, kind of black, and yeah, it doesn't need all the lore, despite the fact that it's got it, I think. It's just a good wrestling entrance.
Yeah, and there aren't that many lyrics, but they still tell the story of Julia in House of Black. Born from pain inside my veins, bred for war, begging for more. None shall mourn, I am reborn. Live in sin, the house always wins. My heart grows harder, darker and darker. I see the truth. My blood flows black with you. So it's telling the story of Julia getting, you know, gooped in the face by Malakai Black and turning heel and all that. And it's funny, though, the song is very, you know, heavy metal and gothic and over the top and all that. Julia, though, doesn't have, like, a really big metal vibe to me. I mean, they did goth her up a little bit for the stable, of course, but still, you know, real-life cheerleader Julia Hart and gothic operatic metal song. It's a weird mix, you know, but it fits the character, at least. There is that, Alex, so.
Yeah, it's an odd fit, and all credit to Julia Hart for, like, diving into this new thing. Like, as you say, doesn't seem like a exactly natural part of her personality, right? They say some of the most successful wrestling gimmicks are just natural personalities turned up to 11 or 12, and I'm not sure that is necessarily Julia Hart in this role, but she has, I think, really dove into it. And I think she's been one of the better parts of House of Black in her time with them. And I'm really interested to see what House of Black does with, you know, potentially half the crew gone, right?
Mm-hmm. I do like the look she has now with the hat and all that. Very, very Stevie Nicks-esque of her. I do like that a lot.
And I'm glad they didn't dye her hair, right? Like, the obvious thing to do is take the blonde cheerleader and dye her hair dark, and now she's a spooky witch, like you say. But they didn't do that, and I think it actually kind of adds more to her character to have the blonde hair with the rest of the spooky vibe.
Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that, you know, with all the stuff going on with Malakai and Buddy, that her and Brody, they're linked to them, obviously, because they're in the same stable. So it's like, it's kind of up in the air how much they'll use them with all the stuff going on with Malakai and Buddy on hiatus. But hopefully they use them still, because I think there is money in the Brody King banana stand. And, you know, goth witch Julia Hart is A-okay in my book. So if they want to keep them going as a duo for the time being, I say go ahead, do it.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun. And then the Rampage match a few weeks ago was, I mean, she definitely went above and beyond for that one.
Oh, so, yeah.
And that was a good match, too. Really enjoyed that. And yeah, I'd like to see more of them as a duo. I think they've got a lot of potential to them.
Yeah. Luckily, the hat was okay, so we're all good in that sense.
Oh, least. Is that
so,
confirmed? You found that out?
It was confirmed on Twitter that the hat was okay afterwards, so, you know, phew, dodged a bullet there. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But I do want to say one more thing here about this song. Colin Young is in the band God's Hate, which is also the band that Brody King is in, so pretty convenient, I'd say. Emma Boaster is a singer of a band called Dying Wish, and Jordan Olds did the guitar solo. He's the guy who does 2 Minutes to Late Night, which is like a metal late night talk show YouTube thing. So, yeah, Brody King using his metal connections there to make Julia's song, which is, you know, pretty cool, I'd say, Alex.
Hold on. Can you, what is a heavy metal talk show? Can you explain that to me?
It's on YouTube. Jordan, he wears like a King Diamond face paint. And I think he goes by the name Guarsenio Hall, which is pretty funny. But it's just like a, you know, a metal interview show, pretty much. That's what it is.
Well, I know what I'm doing tonight.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Music of the Mat. Thank you so much for listening. And Alex, thank you for being here. Your first time on, it was just an absolute blast. So thanks so much.
I appreciate that, Andrew. I had a really great time. Thanks so much for inviting me on the show. And happy Halloween, everybody.
Of course, of course. Any plugs you want to give, go right ahead.
Yeah, if you are looking for me on the internet, you can find me at Alex Wendland on Twitter. If you're mostly interested in Wisconsin politics and Liverpool Football Club, that's a great place to discuss those things. Other than that, I generally make a couple appearances annually on the Voices of Wrestling.com wrestling website. Yeah, that's about all I got right now.
All right. And Music of the Mat is, of course, part of the Voices of Wrestling podcast network. You can find all the great shows on there at voicesofwrestling.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Music of the Mat. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew T. Rich. voicesofwrestling.com/discord for all discussions and comments. voicesofwrestling.com/donate for all donations. Just click the big donate button beneath the name Music of the Mat. If you donate, hey, thanks so much. You're awesome. Rate, review, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other places. And one more time, HelloFresh.com/VOW65. Use the code VOW65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Alex, thank you again. Happy Halloween to you as well, and I'll see you around.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, for Alex Wendland, I'm Andrew Rich, and I'll see you next time on Music of the Mat. Take care, guys.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.